Welcome to Stand in the Gap Today with Sam Rohr, Gary Dahl, and David Kistler of the American Pastors Network, addressing the most critical issues impacting our culture from a biblical and constitutional perspective. Learn more about the work of the American Pastors Network at AmericanPastorsNetwork.net.
Well, good Thursday afternoon to each and every one of you out there in Stand in the Gap territory. It is a delight to have you there by the radio or the computer, however you are listening, and we thank you so very, very much for the pleasure of your company. And along with David Kistler and Sam Rohr, I'm Gary Dahl. Yesterday, Dave was not here. The day before that, I was not here. We were both at funerals. And Dave, I just want you to know that you were heavily on my mind, because when we went on the air yesterday, I introduced myself as David Kistler.
You did.
I did.
Yeah, he did.
Well, Gary, I appreciate the shout out. I really do.
And the worst of the matter is, it was not a mistake. That's just what came out of my mouth at that particular point in time. So I guess I have confusion as to who I am. But anyway.
Are you saying you have a personality disorder?
Well, that came to my mind, but I wasn't going to say it as directly as you did, but that's okay. But anyway, ladies and gentlemen, we are delighted to have you with us today. And, of course, when we go into the second segment, our Washington Beat attorney, David New, will be with us, and he's going to be talking somewhat about the Supreme Court decision and how it will affect churches and pastors, as well as a few other things that relates to the same-sex marriage issue that we're facing today. Many of you probably woke up this morning hearing that there was an incident going on at the Washington Naval Yard and Navy Yard. I was actually watching Fox News when this hit, and of course I think that every police department in the area, every security agency in the area worked its way down to the Washington Navy Yard to check out what happened. And Sam, why don't you give us the update on that in case somebody has not really heard what's been taking place down there?
Well, I'll be glad to do that, Gary. Yeah, as we know, about 7:30 this morning, there was the way it's reported, an employee there heard a gunshot and responded, called the local D.C. Police station, who then promptly began to investigate. But in the meantime, they put a lockdown on everything, which was pretty much protocol from what they're saying. And again, this harkens back to something that happened there, you know, about a year ago. So they weren't taking any chances. They locked it down. They came and investigated. But then not that long after, actually at 11:30 or so, they lifted it, indicating that there was nothing really to it. There was no criminality involved. There was not any shooting involved, that kind of thing. And so it's up. But it raises, so people can say that. So anyways, bottom line, there's nothing happening there. Something was there for a minute, didn't prove to be anything. Walk away, I would say, Gary, would be that even if the police chief said there, the employee did the right thing by calling when they heard something, saw something suspicious, and then they were able to check it out and get on it quickly. So that's basically where that sits right now. But it does alert us to even what we talked about yesterday. You know, the country is on a heightened alert. We should keep our eyes open. We should be alert to things of that type, gunshots where they shouldn't be, or, you know, who knows, people doing funny things that are out of character or whatever. And just be aware of it. But life should go on as we, you know, as people are planning it for this weekend.
Well, you know, as you said, she responded the way that she should. And, of course, the chief of police in Washington said that. But Dave Kistler, one of the things that concerns me is the idea that if indeed ISIS wants to get to us, or the terrorists want to, you know, get us all riled up here in this nation, they could do certain things like this just to, well, maybe I should put it this way, create false alarms, as it were, to get the police out in one place so that the terrorists might be able to do something somewhere else. I would call that diversion. What do you think about that?
Well, Gary, one of the things that went through my mind as I was watching this was the enormous response. I mean, there were roads that were literally blocked from every direction because of the police response from just one phone call. So in addition to what you're suggesting, which could be used very easily as a diversionary tactic in the day and age in which we're living, where there's this overwhelming response to a threat like this at a high-level facility. But beyond that, Gary, my concern is this. Terrorism is of its very nature that which creates dread, fear, apprehension. And it doesn't have to be something that actually develops into the loss of life. It's just something that disrupts people's lives and disrupts their day. And definitely the entirety of Washington, D.C. was interrupted and disrupted by this one phone call. So, you know, I can promise you that there were terror entities, ISIS among them, watching that response and learning much from it. And so over this 4th of July weekend, where there is this heightened sense of alert, could there be more situations just like this that are really nothing other than someone trying to disrupt? That is a very distinct possibility.
One of the things that I observed is that the security, or at least we were told, that the security around the Capitol, which is just, you know, less than a half mile, maybe a quarter mile away from the Navy Yard, that, you know, the security detail there was as normal. They didn't do anything extra unless that has come out since about 8:30, 9 o'clock this morning. But that sort of surprises me. But I can imagine that behind closed doors they were watching that with big eyes and big ears, because they certainly, when something that close to the Capitol building happens, they are on alert. Although I understand that the park across from the White House was closed. So, you know, Sam, the fact of the matter is, if there was any – if there were any terrorists watching what is going on or what took place down there this morning, they should know that our teams, our police teams, our security will be very responsive very quickly.
Well, I think that's correct. I think they know that. I think, as you said yesterday, there's already some effort of trying to move some of these identified terrorist suspect type things off the streets prior to getting to the weekend, that kind of thing, and efforts. But clearly, anyone who would attempt anything in this country knows that that there is a heightened alert, and they know that they're going to have to do something. Perhaps if they do it at all, a little bit differently. But again, as Dave said, this kind of thing is by itself is disruptive, and really at the end of the day, if they disrupt enough people's lives, they've accomplished a lot of what they want to accomplish. So we have to just keep all this in perspective.
Something else that just occurred, and of course we're going to be going into a break here, but we presented to you, is the idea that the General Synod of the United Church of Christ voted 508 to 124 yesterday to boycott Israeli products that are made in the West Bank. Sam, that's pretty serious as well.
Well, Gary, it is serious, and here it is. Church of Christ sounds like a good thing, but the Church of Christ, the Synod, General Synod, has long ago left off the authority of Scripture. They have long ago left off the pursuit of constitutional efforts and justice, and they have taken on a very, very political issue. Boycotting Israel is certainly something that displeases God and is really a bad thing for any kind of a so-called church to do.
And when you see they did it by the vote of 508 to 124, Sam, it wasn't even close.
No, that's the point of it. It was a pretty overwhelming representation from this church group.
Yeah. A lot going on in the country and in the world today, ladies and gentlemen. That's why we are going to take a break, but then we'll come back with David New, our Washington Beat attorney, after these messages. So please do not go away. If you do, don't go too far. Be back in 4 minutes. We'll be here.
This is Sam Rohr, president of the American Pastors Network, and I'm thrilled to announce that BJU Press, the Christian homeschool curriculum leader, has come alongside APN as a national sponsor of Stand in the Gap Today. Together, we share a commitment to further a true biblical worldview and to follow Jesus' command to be salt and light to the culture. BJU Press provides academically sound educational materials designed to fully equip children for college and the workplace. As postmodern culture seeks to eliminate God from the classroom, BJU Press integrates biblical truth into curricula that's accurate, dependable, and exceeds all national academic standards. APN welcomes BJU Press as a national partner and sponsor of Stand in the Gap today. If you're a parent and want to find out more, visit BJU Press online at bjupresshomeschool.com or by calling 800-845-5731. Again, we at APM welcomes BJU Press as a national partner as together we work to instill Christian values in the generations to follow.
Deer might be fun to look at, but they can rub the bark off your trees overnight, creating thousands of dollars in damage. Ordinary tree wraps or stormwater pipe can't stand up to deer when they're rutting or in heat. Hi, I'm Jim Saunders, the creator of Tree Armor, the world's first and only spring-loaded tree guard. Tree Armor stands up to any buck, protecting young trees up to 4 inches thick from deer rubbing as well as power tools. It's infused with a natural cayenne pepper scent that repels deer before they can do damage to your trees. It's brown and almost invisible from a short distance, and Tree Armor is the only tree guard made in America using only EPA-approved vinyl, free of lead and heavy metals found in other imported products. Tree Armor is not available in stores, but you can buy it from the manufacturer at a huge discount. Go to our website, mytreearmor.com, and buy as many as you need from about $3 each. We even pay the postage. That's mytreearmor.com to protect your trees.
History was made on today's date. Stay tuned for an American Minute with Bill Federer.
One bullet grazed his elbow, but a second lodged in the back of President James Garfield, who was shot this day, July 2, 1881, as he waited in the Washington train station. He had been in office 4 months. Though not wounded seriously, unsterile medical practices caused him to die within 2 months. A distinguished Civil War major, James Garfield was also a college president and a preacher for the Disciples of Christ. He said, "If the next century does not find us a great nation, it will be because those who represent the morality of the nation do not aid in controlling the political forces."
This has been an American Minute with Bill Federer. For a free transcript, call American Minute at 1-888-USA-WORD.
When a nation embraces evil and rejects good, when evildoers are commended while Christians are maligned, it's time to understand the reason. I'm Sam Rohr, president of the American Pastors Network. The Apostle Paul tells us in Romans 1 that people once knowing the truth of God, experiencing the blessing of God, and who through science and technology uncover the mysteries of creation but then reject the truth and refuse to give God the glory, God will wipe his hands of these people and remove his mercy from them. He will give them up to general sexual perversion, then to deviant sexual attractions, including homosexuality, then to a reprobate mind, so that they not only can do all the evil they want, but also experience all the dire consequences of their sin. I'm Sam Rohr of the American Pastors Network, saying that rejecting God and His truth is fatal. For me, I prefer to glorify God, thank Him for all He's done, and be blessed by Him. How about you?
Sign up as a partner at papastors.net.
You're listening to Stand in the Gap Today, the daily radio program of the American Pastors Network. For more information, visit the APN website, AmericanPastorsNetwork.net, and walk through the resource library to find over 500 separate resources with more added every week. Our resource library is a collection of biblical worldview resources categorized according to selected topics like abortion, marriage, the Constitution, evolution and creation, and much more. The resource library is free to use and designed for pastors or anyone who wants to find the very best materials available to more effectively relate biblical truth on a full range of issues facing the culture. Again, visit the website today, AmericanPastorsNetwork.net, and find out how you can help reverse cultural decline, equipped with the best resources available. And now, let's rejoin the American Pastors Network and Stand in the Gap Today.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, we do want to welcome you back to Stand in the Gap Today. And, of course, we are going to go to David New in just a minute. But, Sam, in reference to what you said there before the break, how the General Synod of the United Church of Christ voted 508 to 124 yesterday to boycott Israeli products made in the West Bank. Isn't the United Church of Christ the same church that Jeremiah Wright pastors? in which President Obama sat for 20 years listening to his teachings?
Well, Gary, it may be. I don't know if it's the same one. There's a number of different variations, but it's very possible that it is. And Gary, one of the significant things about it here, you know, we're finding, and we're going to get into a David Duke here in just a little bit and pick up some more on some of the discussion about the marriage ruling. But there are many people around this country who proclaim to be Christian, who say they even lead seminaries like this one here in Lancaster Seminary, mm-hmm. the president who actually came out and said, thank God for this ruling. And mm-hmm. they are attempting to put and claim spiritual victory over what, in fact, was an absolute action in the exact opposite, and a hatred to God in opposition to biblical truth. That's the kind of thing that happens here. You know, when God looks down at a nation, and he has those, I was reading the book of Jude last night, and talking about those who creep in unawares, appear to be religious, but deny the power of God and deny the power of the Scripture, and they actually work against marriage. They again get involved in the acts of Sodom and Gomorrah. I mean, it talks about today, but these kinds of things here, this same church is also in favor of the kind of ruling that came out from the Supreme Court. Not a wonder that they actually work against the very nation of Israel, God's people, almost full rejection of the Word of God. This is an angering thing to God. It's something we need to note here and to say that everybody who says they're a Christian, if they're not walking biblical truth, they're a problem. They're not walking in obedience. They're not the kind of Christian that God blesses, that's for sure.
Well, you know, it's interesting that yesterday we took the first segment to challenge people to know the Lord Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. And we made a distinction between those who are biblical Christians and those who are traditional Christians simply because they go to a Christian church or were brought up in a Christian family. And I received an email last night from an individual who thanked us, Sam, for making that distinction because this particular person said that, you know, the whole world is confused as to what a real Christian is, and they appreciated the fact that we made that distinction. The real Christian, the one who's trusted Jesus Christ as Savior personally, is the one who will attempt to live biblically. A traditional Christian really may not even know the Bible. They are just following the tenets of some particular Christian church and may not even know what that church stands for, and there are so many people in that category today. And it's a very, very sad situation. Well, we do want to go to David New. And Dave, welcome back to Stand in the Gap today. We thought last Monday and Tuesday you were going to take over the program as one of our co-hosts. But you took a vacation, but yet you're back with us. Welcome, sir.
Well, thank you so much. It's so nice to be with you today.
And we got some good reports from your co-hosting. So,
Thank you. I'm so glad the people enjoyed it. I certainly did.
Well, it was a delight to have you. And, of course, we know that you've been following this situation with the Supreme Court, and you have some particular information or even concern on how this will affect churches and pastors that you'd like to share with us today.
Well, it definitely was a very bad day, Friday. I don't think people quite understand just how bad this is. The gay and lesbian community basically are filled, not all of them, of course, but they are absolutely filled with hatred for God and the Christian religion. And these people are not going to stop. They're not going to stop with this business of gay marriage. They're going to go forward and try to do everything they can to limit, if not eliminate, anything that opposes them. When people are involved in this kind of behavior, they cannot stand even to be in the presence of somebody who represents goodness and decency and godliness. I don't think people understand the hatred they have for us. And it's quite clear that the government of the United States is an extremely corrupt government. It is rotten. Our president is corrupt. Our Congress is corrupt. Our Supreme Court is corrupt. This country is filled with moral rot. There's nothing that I can say good about these people. I am absolutely disgusted. I have never in my life been ashamed to be an American like I was last Friday. It is sickening what is happening to this country.
Well, you're ashamed of being you're ashamed of being an American because of the principles that are coming out of Washington and the and the court and the Congress and the White House. I wouldn't think you're ashamed to be an American on the principles that America was built, which is what we need to try to return back to.
No, exactly. I think I said it in the right vein, and you definitely caught what I was trying to say. This is a great country. We have a great constitution. We have a great a heritage, but it is being stolen from us by the corruption in the government. The government is the problem. And I don't think people realize that we may not be at war with our government, but our government is at war with us. There's no question about that. If you look at the Declaration of Independence, you find these beautiful, wonderful words that they are all endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. The government, as the government, has already attacked life because of the slaughter of unborn children. Our government is attacking our liberty because they treat every American citizen as if he or she is a terrorist suspect. They know every phone call we make. They know what we're doing. Now, as of Friday, for sure, the government has attacked the pursuit of happiness. Because there's no question that a major feature of the pursuit of happiness for a human being is the institution of marriage. And these people on the Supreme Court have attacked the pursuit of happiness that belongs to the American people in a way that I don't think anybody else could have dreamed that they could have. It just doesn't get any worse than what they did on Friday. These are very, very bad people. These are people who are not loyal to the Constitution. These are people who are not loyal to American values. These are bad, bad people. And it's going to get worse.
Stick
around.
You're
going to see just how bad it can get.
When you say it's going to get worse, what are some of the things that you have in mind? I mean, what are some of the things that we should look for?
Well, I don't think in the immediate future, pastors and priests and rabbis and imams will be asked to form same-sex marriage. I think if that came up for a vote, I think right now the vote would be 9-0 in our favor. It's the next generation that it starts to change. It's that generation 25, 30, 40 years from now that will change. The other thing, though, that can happen now is that our tax-exempt status as churches, especially anything that it's that is an auxiliary of the church, like a school, a Christian school, the tax-exempt status of those institutions are going to be attacked, and they could be withdrawn. The one thing that I think that is likely to happen in 10 to 15 and 20 years, I think the American people will change and realize that this was a mistake. Now,
I was talking to somebody the other day that sort of holds that same position. You know, for instance, and he used the idea of the Roe versus Wade, that when that happened back in 1973 and when the Supreme Court legalized abortion, basically, that it sort of floated along for a while. But after 15 or 20 years, you know, it seems like there's been more and more of a effort to try to reverse it. And, you know, this fellow that I was talking to the other day said that he sees that as it relates to same-sex marriage as well. But that's going to be pretty difficult to do, though, don't you think, David?
Yes, it is going to be, because there's a vast difference between Roe v. Wade, or abortion, and marriage. Roe v. Wade, abortion, the science enters into it, and things can change, and there's all kinds of rules and regulations that surround it. The thing about marriage is you're either married or you're not married. So it's a cut and dry situation. It's going to be rather difficult. But I do believe, because the gay groups and those who support them and the secularists, the hatred they have for Christ, the hatred they have for Christianity and the Bible, they are going to go and go and go. And the problem they've got is that there is still a large, large bulk of the American people who do not support this. And so they're going to have a problem. And I think they're going to see that this was a mistake. I think now whether that will ever be reversed, I don't know. But I do believe that day is coming when the polls will go back to less than 50% for their favor.
Well, I hope that you're right, David New. And, of course, I think a lot of that has to do with the way that we respond to that right now as Christians. We're going to take a break, ladies and gentlemen. But when we come back, we'll continue with David New. David Kistler even has an interesting story to relate concerning homosexuality and Masada over in the Middle East. Stand by, because we'll be back with more right after this.
These are the times that try men's souls. The summer soldier and the sunshine patriot will, in this crisis, shrink from the service of their country. But he that stands it now deserves the love and thanks of man and woman. Tyranny, like hell, is not easily conquered. Yet we have this consolation with us, that the harder the conflict, the more glorious the triumph. Thomas Paine, The American Crisis, 1776.
Fox News Radio, I'm Chris Foster. Not a hoax, police say, just a mistake, with reports of a shooting at the Washington, D.C. Navy Yard now dismissed. Police Chief Kathy Winier.
There was no criminal act here. There was no shots fired, that no one was hurt. And we don't believe that it was a malicious hoax or incident like that.
Someone called reported hearing gunshots that led to a lockdown. Greece needs $56 billion in new financing to get its finances in order, according to the International Monetary Fund. Greeks vote Sunday on whether to accept more cash and cost-cutting measures.
As most banks remain closed and lines at ATM machines long, the yes vote to cooperate with the EU in dealing with Greece's debt is now ahead slightly, according to polls. If that does happen, Greece's controversial finance minister, Yanis Yarafakis, said in an interview today he would resign.
Fox's Greg Palcott, Fox News, we report, you decide.
From the Pennsylvania Family Institute, I'm Michael Gear with today's Family Update. Candidates and politicians are fond of saying that our children are our future, only to then proceed to saddle them with unimaginable debt, thanks to out-of-control spending and massive government waste. I wish I had an instant solution for that, but I don't. But here at Pennsylvania Family Institute, we take seriously our commitment to the next generation, and one way we show it is with our City on the Hill Youth Leadership and Worldview Camp, held the last full week of July each summer. It's a life-changing week that helps teens discover and guide their God-given leadership skills for their own good and for the benefit of others. This year, we've got our best lineup of speakers ever, and we still have space for a few more high school teens to come. So don't let your high schooler miss it. For details, go to pafamily.org or call us at 1-800-FAMILY-1. That's 1-800-FAMILY-1.
WFYN. You're listening to Stand in the Gap Today, the daily radio program of the American Pastors Network. For more information, visit the APN website, AmericanPastorsNetwork.net, and walk through the resource library to find over 500 separate resources with more added every week. Our resource library is a collection of biblical worldview resources categorized according to selected topics like abortion, marriage, the Constitution, evolution and creation, and much more. The resource library is free to use and designed for pastors or anyone who wants to find the very best materials available to more effectively relate biblical truth on a full range of issues facing the culture. Again, visit the website today, AmericanPastorsNetwork.net, and find out how you can help reverse cultural decline, equipped with the best resources available. And now, let's rejoin the American Pastors Network and stand in the gap today.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. You know, we have David New on with us today, and he was talking about how so many times we find that the radicals within the homosexual movement can be very, very mean people, and that's true. I remember a number of years ago I had preached a series of messages on homosexuality. And, of course, the church that I pastor has television and radio. And so many people hear it that we do not even know who they may be. But during that period of time, I got a couple of threats. One of those threats came on a Sunday morning. My wife went out to get the morning paper on the front steps of the house, and there were two 30-30 bullet shells there that with a note on that says, if you don't stop talking about homosexuality, we will stop you. I still carry those bullet shells with me, folks, in my vehicle. During that same period of time, as I recall, we had two letters hand-delivered to the church in which our pastor threatening me and encouraging me not to speak against homosexuality. And so, you know, we do find that there are those out there, those radicals out there, who can be very, very mean at times. And David New has put together an article in which he is going to try to get printed on the strategies that the Supreme Court needs to consider. But before we go back to David New, David Kistler, you've got an instance or an interesting experience to share with regard to homosexuality and Masada over in the Middle East, over up above the Dead Sea.
Well, Gary, last during our trip, I think it was Saturday a week ago, we left the Dead Sea, made our way just barely north. And as you get just above sea level, you come to this Masada, which was a place from AD 70 to AD 73, where a group of Jewish zealots, about 1,000 of them, held out against the Roman government. It's a fascinating place to visit, but it's kind of a landmark and an iconic location for the struggle of the Jewish people against Rome. And so it has all kinds of liberty, freedom implications and so on. And it's a fascinating place to visit. While we were there, there was a large group of men that were there, and all of a sudden I saw a gentleman unfurl a massive flag, and he had a pole that he attached the flag to, and he began waving it in a very animated way. And Gary, I noticed that the gentleman was wearing a dress, kind of like a Cinderella fairy tale type dress, very, very feminine. He had earrings in his ears. He had painted fingernails, long artificial painted fingernails. He had makeup all over his face. And of course, I thought, you know, initially that it was just a guy trying to be funny, silly, do something, you know, just absurd to draw attention to himself. And he was trying to draw attention to himself and to his group, but for another reason. I found out very quickly that he was a member of about 30 to 50 young men, primarily young men who were there at Masada visiting, who were part of the Boston, Massachusetts Gay Chorus. And, They were making a statement, and Gary, his point was simply this: like Masada represents the attempt for the Jewish people to maintain freedom from Rome, he had decided, as did the chorus, to go there and make this display to declare the homosexual movement, the LGBT movement's attempt to gain freedom and acceptance globally for the lifestyle, the aberrant and abhorrent lifestyle that they've chosen to live. Now, here is the exclamation point on my story. You can either walk to the top of Masada, hike to the top, which we did, or you can take a tram up and then a tram back down. As the members of this Boston Gay Chorus were descending the mountain on the tram, they were all in one tram car, and two of our party happened to be in there. A pastor and his wife happened to be in the tram car with them. And they told me later, and I want to be careful how I describe this, but they said it was absolutely sickening to listen to those men talk about what they were going to do with each other and to each other of a sexual nature that evening at their hotel. And it was incredibly graphic language that I will obviously not go into on this program. But to underscore David New's point, these people, Gary, Sam, Dave, are incredibly venomous, vicious, hateful, in your face with their sinful lifestyle. And I will also say this as my final point. Our second crusade in Washington, D.C. happened to be done the same weekend, started the same weekend as the National Gay Pride event in Washington, D.C. We were scheduled to be at 4th Street. Because of the Reagan funeral, we were bumped back three blocks to 7th Street. That being moved back probably spared us a major confrontation because the gay rights LGBT group that was holding their national parade were holding it at 3rd Street, a street away from where we would have been ultimately had we not been moved back three blocks. And honestly, men, they were walking around, the lesbian women were, without any shirts on, which, of course, is not against the law in the District of Columbia. They were engaging in horrific acts right out in public view. And if our tent had been one block away from that, there would obviously, on their part, been an attempt to create a controversy and an incident with us. Thankfully, none of that occurred, but we did see them walking around. So it just goes to underscore the point that these folks have a venomous, hateful attitude toward God, toward anything really that's decent.
Well, you know, there's no doubt about that, and I think we've all experienced that to a certain degree. And David knew that ties into what you were saying before we went on into the break. But what about this article that you're putting together, sir?
Yes, I have put together an article that will list seven basic strategies to undo what the Supreme Court did. You know, the interesting thing about the gay and lesbian groups, they say that we should learn to be tolerant of them and their lifestyle. But if you dare speak out against these people, you will find how intolerant they are. It is just absolute hypocrisy. Another thing that's very, very important, although they hate us, and that's quite clear, we must not hate them.
That's right.
We must love them because God loves them. So we must never yield to the evil that's in their spirit. We must overcome that with the love of Christ in us for them. The other thing that's very important, a lot of people are very down about this situation. I am too. But let's remember, we don't need to just sulk and then disappear. This is a time for men of God to stand up and to be bold and to proclaim the freedoms that we have as Americans and that this is wrong and we're not going to stand for it. This business of Christians, I mean, I've been around some Christians now that are talking about how they're ready to be a martyr and all this kind of jazz, like they're getting ready to have their heads cut off. Stop that nonsense. Stop with the martyrdom jazz. Get busy. You're an American citizen who knows his Constitution has more power than the President of the United States. So stop being nilly-willy, jello-back people. Get some guts in you, boy, and get bold and get busy.
Well, you know, that's absolutely so true. And Sam Rohr, in light of what David New was saying there, the Constitution is a document that we, the people of this nation, can take into our hands and follow through with if we just have the boldness to do it, correct?
Well, that is correct, and it comes, though, with starting with the fact of understanding what it is. Now, Dave New, what he just said was exactly correct. Take what we know. The problem that we have, we know, is that most people don't know. I just looked at an article right here. It says that some gigantic percentage can't even tell you what the 4th of July celebrates. I mean, we have an incredible number of people who have been robbed of our heritage. We've talked about it on this program before. We've lost contact with what has gone before. We do not know the biblical principles undergirding our Constitution, our freedom, and all of that. And that's why we've been talking here about understanding this issue coming out of the Supreme Court, be it about the marriage issue or the Obamacare issue. There are two aspects of both of these. There is the moral component. There is a part that you can track right back to biblical principle and say, does God say something specifically? In the case of marriage, he has. Therefore, there is something that this court cannot, no matter what they say, overrule. God's moral law still hangs there unchanged. But then there's the constitutional part. The court as well, we've got to look at that. Can the court do what they did? We say, no, unconstitutionally, they cannot. So who challenges that? Well, the states should be challenging it. We must know and have the knowledge in order to undergird what we say. But the point is the truth. The facts, moral law, and constitutional law is on the side of the American citizen and all of those who love freedom, and we must know it and we must act upon it, not run from it, as what Dave New just reminded us.
And, you know, I can imagine that there are people out there saying, well, how can I learn more about the Constitution? Well, David New, you've got a couple of books on that issue, do you not?
One of my best, one that's the most popular, is called The Constitution for Beginners. It's on Amazon.com. And I stopped working for 3 or 4 days on the book that I'm just wrapping up called The Separation of Church and State for Beginners, which I will get out later this year. But to get this article, which we'll discuss at the next briefing, because this will reveal that there's more that can be done then we may not realize how to oppose this decision.
Okay, well, we will get right to that when we come back from this break. So, ladies and gentlemen, stay tuned. This is Stand in the Gap Today with David Kistler, David New, Sam Rohr, and yours truly, Gary Dull. We'll be back with more right after this.
As Christian financial advisors, we hold a biblical worldview and teach stewardship as a lifestyle. For over 30 years, we have taught families how to apply God's Word to our daily lives. Our 3-day stewardship lifestyle seminars are held in Bible-teaching churches across America. We go far beyond basic budgeting and dig into the meat of Scripture. We believe that principle without application often lead to frustration. This is Roy Russell with the Life Financial Group in Douglasville. We are just west of Pottstown on Route 422. Visit our website or read our weekly blog at thelifegroup.org. There you'll find videos and PowerPoints for our ministry to the local church. In addition to investing and actively managing over $100 million, we prepare hundreds of tax returns for believers around the area. Come in for a second opinion and see how a biblical worldview can positively affect your investing and financial planning. Call us at 610-385-4500. That's 385-4500, or on the web at thelifegroup.org.
Securities offered through Genius Wealth Management, Inc., member FINRA and SIPC.
Deer might be fun to look at, but they can rub the bark off your trees overnight, creating thousands of dollars in damage. Ordinary tree wraps or stormwater pipe can't stand up to deer when they're rutting or in heat. Hi, I'm Jim Saunders, the creator of Tree Armor, the world's first and only spring-loaded tree guard. Tree Armor stands up to any buck, protecting young trees up to 4 inches thick from deer rubbing as well as power tools. It's infused with a natural cayenne pepper scent that repels deer before they can do damage to your trees. It's brown and almost invisible from a short distance, and Tree Armor is the only tree guard made in America using only EPA-approved vinyl, free of lead and heavy metals found in other imported products. Tree Armor is not available in stores, but you can buy it from the manufacturer at a huge discount. Go to our website, mytreearmor.com, and buy as many as you need from about $3 each. We even pay the postage. That's mytreearmor.com to protect your trees.
The Pocket Testament League presents Pocket Power. Read, carry, and share the gospel every day. If you've ever failed to share your faith because you just didn't know what words to use, then carry the word with you.
There's a large group of Christians who walk the streets every night, preaching the word of God. Thank you for your books. Your ministry is a huge blessing to ours. In Jesus' name, praise the Lord.
Hello, this is Mike Brickley, president of the Pocket Testament League. Reading the Bible every day is so easy when you always have it with you. You won't even need a backpack. You can carry one right in your pocket. What are you waiting for?
I am a youth leader at my church. I've just started to go into the kids' homes and tell them about the gospel. I feel that giving them the precious gift of the gospel in a pocket testament will get them fired up for God's word.
What are you waiting for? Read, carry, and share the gospel every day. For more information, call 1-800-636-8785 or visit pocketpower.org. That's pocketpower.org.
Florence Chadwick was the first woman to swim the English Channel in both directions. Now she would swim from Catalina Island to the California coast. The year was 1952. The day was dense with fog. The cold water was numbing. Florence could hardly see. She could hear rifles shooting at sharks nearby. After more than 15 hours, it all became too much. Her trainer urged her on, but with no land in sight, her will was gone. Florence quit swimming. This is Howard Butt Jr. of Laity Lodge. That day, Florence Chadwick gave up 1/2 mile from her goal. When you're ready to quit, keep on swimming. The fog will lift, and you'll see how close you are in the high calling of our daily work.
Learn more at thehighcalling.org.
You're listening to Stand in the Gap Today, the daily radio program of the American Pastors Network. For more information, visit the APN website, AmericanPastorsNetwork.net, and walk through the resource library to find over 500 separate resources with more added every week. Our resource library is a collection of biblical worldview resources categorized according to selected topics like abortion, marriage, the Constitution, evolution and creation, and much more. The resource library is free to use and designed for pastors or anyone who wants to find the very best materials available to more effectively relate biblical truth on a full range of issues facing the culture. Again, visit the website today, AmericanPastorsNetwork.net, and find out how you can help reverse cultural decline, equipped with the best resources available. And now, let's rejoin the American Pastors Network and Stand in the Gap Today.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, and I want to go right to David New again. Dave, you have put together an article that discusses some of the strategies that the United States Supreme Court can take in as it relates to this decision on same-sex marriage. Why don't you just review that for us quickly before we have to leave the air today, sir?
Sure. In 2006, I gave a lecture with Pastor Schenck of Faith in Action on different strategies to limit the Supreme Court. And I put that into an article form. The first thing we have to do, number one, is to form a coalition. A lot of groups in the United States have been damaged by a 5-4 decision like we have. The Citizens United people, the campaign finance people, the Kelo people, the property rights people, environmentalists, and even pro-abortion groups have all lost big time in a 5-4 decision. These people need to come together with the pro-family forces and form a coalition. The reason why our side never wins is we don't build coalitions. If we get a large enough coalition, we can get Congress to act. Different interest groups must come together, and then we can do this and bring it about. Now, one of the changes that can be done that's fairly easy, if we have a large enough coalition, there are several things, but one thing, I'll talk about the 5-4 vote. Nowhere does the Constitution say that majority rules on the U.S. Supreme Court. Nowhere. Where does it say a 5-4 decision is the law of the land? It doesn't say that. Okay. So where did it come from? It's a tradition. It's a long-standing custom, but it's doubtful that Congress intended majority rule on the Supreme Court because originally in 1789, when Congress established the Supreme Court with the Judiciary Act, they put 6 members on the U.S. Supreme Court. Well, if you believe in majority rule, sweetheart, that's a bad number to use. One thing we can do is to require there to be a super majority on the Supreme Court. For the Supreme Court to declare a law unconstitutional that Congress passes, we can require a 6-3 vote. For a law passed by a state government, I recommend the vote either be 7-2 or 8-1. And the reason the vote should be higher for the state is because of the Bill of Rights, the 10th Amendment in particular, in deference to state sovereignty. A coalition can put this together and get it through Congress without passing an amendment to the Constitution.
Well, you know, that's interesting, but you know, you'd have a hard time doing that, wouldn't
you?
No,
if you form a coalition, you will not.
Okay.
It's not going to be easy, but a coalition of different interest groups can do it. Now, and since 1920, the Nebraska Constitution requires a 5-2 vote to reverse a decision by the legislature. The North Dakota does something very similar. I think it's 4-1. We need to do that so that these major earthquake decisions aren't decided by a single vote. This is insane.
Well, that's interesting. What are some of the other things that the court that we can consider relative to the court?
There's another thing that we need to also consider, and that's to change the amendment process in Article 5. It is too hard. Instead of requiring a two-thirds majority in the Congress, require a simple majority. The thing about it is they wanted to make changing the Constitution difficult, and that's why they made it two-thirds. Well, those people in 1787 never heard of Anthony Kennedy.
That's true.
It's got to go down to 50%, a majority, and no Senate filibusters. The other thing that needs to be done is change the way states can call for a constitutional convention. Right now, it has to be done by the states agreeing to call for a constitutional convention. Change that, leave it, but change it. Allow the states to propose constitutional amendments the same way Congress does. If 26 states agree to a constitutional amendment, a proposed amendment, then by law it must be sent to all 50 states for ratification and keep the three-fourths number there.
You know, I think that there's, you know, this is a lot of good stuff. And, of course, you know, when that particular article of yours
it's called How to Beat the Supreme Court.
You know, we need to see that that gets into the hands of as many people as possible, and we will do that. David Kistler, you have a comment or a question you have for David New, though.
Yeah, I know our time is drawing to a close, but David, let me ask you this. Bobby Jindal in Louisiana, the governor of Louisiana, has basically issued an executive action saying that magistrates, if it violates their religious beliefs, do not have to, in light of this decision at the high court last Friday, they do not have to violate their religious belief to issue marriage licenses. Is he within the law? Does he have a constitutional right from a state's rights perspective to do what he's doing?
Of course he does. Have fun trying to enforce it, though, because that's one of the first things the gays are. The gays do not respect the religious feelings of America. They hate the religious feelings of America, and they're not going to let that stand.
Well, I agree. I think he's got every right from a constitutional standpoint to do what he's doing. I am just praying that more governors, more state legislatures, more attorneys general across the country will step up to the plate and do what Bobby Jindal, what Greg Abbott in Texas, what several others are doing. And David, the roadmap you've laid out is a powerful, powerful mechanism for stopping this judicial activism on the part of the Supreme Court.
And Dave and Gary,
the key to success is nine letters, COALITION. That's how you win.
Sam,
it is indeed,
ahead, Sam.
And I think the principle here we've talked about before is it's authority versus authority. In Kentucky, there are some clerks right now who are refusing to issue marriage licenses because their employees and then themselves saying we cannot because of all the things that we're talking about. They had no constitutional authority to overturn what we had. This is against God's moral law. We can't do it. ACLU stepping in saying we're going to step in and we're going to make you do it. So, David, there is a contest that is coming, but we are on right ground, as you're saying, when authority and those in positions of authority say, no, you cannot because your Constitution still is intact. What you guys did is an opinion. It's not the law. This must happen
That's
under
right.
this fashion.
And
it will set up a contest,
word
though.
Opinion.
That's correct. That's exactly right.
Well, what we need today is to have people with backbone. And, you know, we are going into the 4th of July weekend when we celebrate the independence of our nation. I'm glad that our founders had backbone. And Dave, and Sam, we need that kind of backbone today amongst preachers and amongst politicians and amongst the average people in America, do we not?
Yes, sir.
Well, Gary, we need backbones, but we need informed backbones. What David has shared today is information that is absolutely powerful.
Well, it is. And David New, we want to thank you for sharing it with us. Of course, our time is up. But once that article is polished up and ready for print, let us know. We'll see what we can do to get that out to everybody that we possibly can. Thank you for being with us once again. Well, ladies and gentlemen, we are at the end of another program. But the Lord willing, we will be back again tomorrow. I trust that you'll be there. On behalf of Dave New, Dave Kistler, Sam Rohr, I'm Gary Dull, saying stand in the gap for faith and freedom. Keep looking up. Watch God work because we know the best is yet to come. God bless you all.
We hope you've enjoyed listening to Stand in the Gap today with Sam Rohr, Gary Dahl, and David Kistler. Brought to you by the American Pastors Network. Every day on this station, we address the most urgent issues undermining the culture from a biblical and constitutional perspective. APN takes seriously the command to be salt and light in this culture. Our mission is to declare truth into the public square, bringing a biblical worldview to the issues of the day. We seek to build a dynamic network of pastors across the nation who hold firmly to the authority of Scripture and boldly preach the whole counsel of God. This ministry is supported through the prayers and financial support of people like you, and we urge you to do all you can to help the American Pastors Network accomplish this mission. To learn more, visit www.AmericanPastorsNetwork.net and help us with your donation today. Find out how we're impacting the culture and how you can join in the mission. Join us again tomorrow for Stand in the Gap Today.
If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and I will forgive their sin and heal their land. 2 Chronicles 7:14. WFYL reminds you to pray for America.